أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. صلوات عليك وعلى آله. This is the second in the series of majalis in commemoration of the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. As I mentioned last night, that I'm continuing the theme from Dua-e Iftitah, however, not going by the sequence that we had in the first five nights of the month of Ramadan. Rather, I have selected just one passage from the fifth part of it, which is the salawat on the Prophet and his family. And this is very significant for us, because this dua has come from none other than the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajah Sharif. And in that salawat, when he comes to the salawat on the first Imam, the passage which I have taken as a theme for these majalis of the shahadat, this is basically Ali in the words of Al-Mahdi. And when we looked at the first title, Allahumma wa salli ala Aliyin Amir al-Mu'mineen, we discussed that first attribute that the present Imam, you know, talks about. And there was quite a lot to say, but we just confined ourselves to only one. And then tonight I would like to continue with the second one. Allahumma wa salli ala aliyyin amir al-mu'mineen wa wasiyyi rasooli rabbil alameen. When you look at the attributes here, and you will see that even when you continue the discussion, inshallah, in the next majlis, you will see that the first one is an attribute or the title of Ali in relation to Ali and the people. He is Amirul Mu'mineen. He is the leader or the chief of the believers. The second one that the Imam selects is very different. Wasiyyu Rasul Rabbil Alameen. Here the relationship of Ali is not with the Ummah. Rather, it is his relationship with Rasulullah, that he is the wasi, the successor of the messenger of the Lord of the universe. And inshallah, we'll see the second, the third relationship will be discussed, inshallah, tomorrow night in the Majlis of Shahadat. But let us look, spend some time on this wasiyyi Rasul Rabbil Alameen. What does it mean, and what are the historical, you know, evidence for that? Salawat Prana Ikbar. When we look at the term wasi, you know, wasiyyat, everybody knows about it. In Farsi, in Urdu, in Gujarati, and that's where you get the word wasi. Basically, wasi means somebody who will be the executor of the will of the deceased. He will handle the estate of the deceased. Now, that's more in a family context. When you talk about the wasi of a leader, it has a broader meaning there. You are talking about somebody who is going to take over the affairs of the community or the nation, of the leader who was there before. And it's in that meaning that we see that after the leader has passed away, the wasi becomes the leader. He is the successor there. Now the question comes up: when was Ali appointed as the wasi of the Prophet? There are certain issues in history, we learn about it, we know some of the names, But it's important to know it in detail sometimes, because these days we get questions not only for outsiders, even from insiders. You know, and whenever the doubts are created, you have to make sure your information and the facts of history are very clear for you. Islam started when the Prophet was 40 years old, with the first ayat which came in the cave of Hira. However, during the early days, the mission was a secret. The Prophet would not publicly talk about Islam. It was only for the first 3 years, the mission was a secret. Only selected people would be told about it. In the third year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat, which is now in Surah number 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wanzir ashiratak al-aqrabin." O Muhammad, now it's time to, you know, proclaim the message publicly. But start with your own family first. From Banu Hashim. Because you do the tabligh from home first, huh? You don't want to guide all the people who are outside, where you have people in the family, in the extended family, who are misguided. And so the Prophet decided to have a da'wat, a feast. He organized, he invited actually 40 individuals from Banu Hashim to the da'wat. And the purpose was that, you know, and he asked Ali, who was this, just about early teens now, not even baligh, technically speaking. Ali said, "You arrange this feast for 40 people. And the idea was that once they have been fed, then Rasulullah will stand up and give his presentation. The way we do here, iftar. Iftar is first, and then we have the lecture after that. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. But on the first day, what happens? His own uncle, Abu Lahab, who knew about this mission, he knew, and he was one of the first enemies of Rasulullah, he stood up before him and Rasulullah would say anything. And he said, you know, he has bewitched us anyway. He's, you know, just going to waste our time. So he stood up, others stood up, and the gathering was, you know, dispersed. People went away. So then the Prophet invited them again next day. And this time Rasulullah made sure that, you know, he gets the opportunity to speak. And this is where he says, "Oh, the sons of Abdul Muttalib." He says, "I don't know anyone among the Arabs who have come to you with a news better than what I'm going to present to you. The message that I have is better for your dunya and akhirah." And this is where then he says, "Who among you is willing to be my supporter in this mission? So that he will become, فَأَيُّكُمْ يُوَاذِرُنِي. Who among you will help me على هذا الأمر, on this issue, أن يكون أخي ووصي وخليفتي فيكم, so that he will be given this position of becoming my brother, my wasi, my, you know, successor or executor of my will after me, وخليفتي, and my successor among you." Nobody stood up. Except the youngest one, Ali. And this is where Rasulullah says, "Sit down." Again, he gives the opportunity. But the only response came from Ali. And that is where Rasulullah actually put his hand on the neck, on the shoulder of Ali, and he says, "I would like to declare to you all, إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي وَوَصِيِّي وَخَلِيفَتِي فِيكُمْ فَاسْمَعْ لَهُ وَعَتِيعُ. I would like you to know that this Ali, he is my brother, وَوَصِيِّي, he is my wasi, and he is my khalifa and successor among you. Therefore, فَاسْمَعْ لَهُ, listen to him, وَعَتِيعُ, and obey him. This is where we see that, you know, the prophet was very explicit, very clear. You know, many times people say, oh, you know, Wasi and Khalifa, these are all symbolic words there. Didn't have any implication. No, he says, فَاسْمَعْ لَهُ, listen to him, وَأَطِيعُ, and obey him. The audience understood the meaning clearly, because Abu Lahab took this opportunity to laugh about it, and he joked to Abu Talib, and he said, oh, Abu Talib, your nephew Muhammad is now asking you to listen and obey your own son. So Abu Lahab understood the implication, and the Muslims are still debating, what does it mean? And this is where we have to realize, when people say, oh, it wasn't clear, it was clear there for the people who were in the front, that you have to listen to him and you have to obey him. And when was that? This is the first formal declaration of Islam to the Ummah. Salawat Pranay Ekbara. I don't want to go into the references and details and the sanad of this. I would just refer you to my book. I have a book called Shiaism, Imamat and Vilayat, which was published in 1999. And it has an entire chapter on this discussion. And what are the sources, historical sources, and the sanad going to this event. Now, why do we talk about this? Because if you go and pick up any popular biography of Rasulullah, written by the Muslims, you will not really see these things there. And somebody will come and say to our young people, oh, you know, he didn't say anything. This is right in the beginning, when Ali is not even baligh yet. And Rasulullah is introducing him as Hadha Akhi wa Wasayyi wa Khalifati. What else do you want? Ghadir is much later on. You have to connect. The formal declaration of Islam is in Da'wat al-Ashira, and the final declaration of the faith is in Ghadir. There you have the introduction of Ali, and here also you have the introduction of Ali. Salawat Pranay Ekbara. But even in this very first Visayat and Khilafat of Ali, the declaration, Muslim historians and muhaddisin have been very unfair to Ali. Ali indeed is mazloom in the history. You must have heard the name of Tabari, or if you read, you know, Islamic history, his name is there. He's a very prominent and a respected historian of the world of Islam. Even we refer to his books. And he has a very extensive history known as Tariq-e-Tabari. That's how it's famous. Actually, the total full name is something else. And Tabari, in his historical work known as Tariq-e-Tabari, writes this entire event with the crucial words that the Prophet actually introduced Ali by saying, هَذَا أَخِي وَوَصِيِّي وَخَلِيفَةِ فِيكُمْ. Doesn't shy away from that. But it seems there was a lot of pressure on the muhaddisin and the historians at that time. Sometimes they would be very frank in writing what they are writing. Sometimes you will see they will try to shy away from these events, depending on the circumstances and the rulers of the time and the peer pressure from their co-religionists. This same Tabari, and this is the irony, and that's why I'm presenting you this example. This same Tabari, he's also a mujtahid, actually, in the Sunni world. He has a very extensive work in jurisprudence and a very famous mufassir of Quran. He was an all-rounded scholar. So he has history as well as a tafsir known as Jami al-Bayan fi Ta'wil al-Quran. In the history, he writes the words of Rasulullah fully, that the Prophet introduced Ali as Hadha Akhi wa Wasi wa Khalifati. But when it comes to this ayat about وَنْزِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, where Allah commanded the Prophet to call his family to Islam, there he narrates this event in the tafsir. But there, I don't know, I still have to study his life history of Tabari. Which came first, the tafsir or the tariq? Because when it comes to the tafsir, he writes the whole incident. But when it comes to the last statement, he says, Rasulullah put his hand on the neck of Ali and he said, Hada akhi wa kava wa kava. Those of you who know Arabic, do you know what does mean? Kada wa kada, any vagaira vagaira. So and so. Or in the common language of Canada, blah, blah, blah. Just think about it. Rasulullah has used three descriptions for Ali. One is akhi, the second is wasi, and the third is khalifa. Tabari in his tariq writes the entire, three description fully. But in tafsir, he's writing the same event. Now he's changing the words. He says, the Prophet said, Ali is my brother, and so and so, and so and so. If you had not written the word akhi, Ali was akhi anyway. He was the cousin. He's like a brother. The most crucial terms there in that conversation or the statement of Rasulullah were the other two ones, wasiyyi wa khalifati. And there is words he, kind of waters down and says, kada wa kada wa ghaira wa ghaira. This is where we come to realize that, this is zulm against Ali ibn Abi Talib from day one of history. Salawat marna ikbara. There is also a discussion about, the very first biography of Rasulullah by Ibn Hisham. Why doesn't it have this whole incident of Da'wat al-Zulashira? I'm not going into that. I'll leave it for you to go and look, read my book. I'm not asking you to buy it. It's available online, also free. Okay? There you will see why the first biographer of Rasulullah doesn't have that incident. There's a whole discussion about the writer and the time in which he lived and the method he selected in, choosing what he wanted to write. But let us now go to other narrations where Ali has been appointed as a wasi by the Prophet. And this is one just sample from many others. And this is from the Sunni sources from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, At-Tabarani, Al-Haskani, and many others, where they say Salman Farsi one day asked the Prophet, because this issue of wasi and successor was a serious question. Everybody had this in their mind. After Rasulullah, what will happen? So Salman Farsi one day asked Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Inna li kulli nabiyyin wasiyyan, faman wasiyyuka? That, oh, the Messenger of Allah, every Nabi has a wasi. Who is your wasi? We don't know the context, who were around at that time. The Prophet did not answer. He was silent. But then Salman says, later on, maybe next day or third day, he says, Rasulullah saw me, and then he called me. That, oh, Salman, he says, I quickly went towards the Prophet and I said, Labbaik. And then the Prophet said, oh, Salman, do you know who was the wasi of Musa? Because this was the question he'd asked, that every Nabi had a wasi. Who is your wasi? And Salman is somebody who had read the scriptures of the previous religions before he came to Islam. He was Zoroastrian, then he became Christian, then he became a Muslim. And so he immediately said, yes, the wasi and successor of Musa was Yusha bin Nun. Yusha bin Nun, so the Prophet said, you know why? Why was he the wasi of Musa? He said, because he was a'lamuhum yawma idhin. Those days, Yusha bin Nun was the most learned person in their ummah. And this is where now the Prophet responds to his question. He says, now that you know what is the criteria, wasiyyi wa mawdi'i sirri wa khayru man atruku ba'di, my successor, my confidant, the best person that I leave after me, wa yanjizu idatin, who will fulfill my promises, وَيَقْضَوْ دَيْنِي, and who will fulfill, pay my debts, is Ali bin Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so we see that, you know, even history has been, the way they treated this incidents regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen, either selective or summarizing or changing words, or sometimes totally they don't even talk about it. Especially when it comes to this issue of Da'wat al-Ashira, even these ahadith of the Prophet where he presents Ali as the wasi, they also have been either ignored or rejected or diluted. I'll give you one more example from Bukhari and Muslim. Both actually in their books have quoted a person by the name of Aswad bin Yazid, that he says one day, he says, we were there in the presence of Aisha, and people were talking about Ali as the wasi of Rasulullah. And when she heard that, she rejected this. And this is where she says, and these are the actual words from her, when did the Prophet make him a wasi? Now she only thinks that this would only happen at the last, you know, moments of the life of Rasulullah. So she said, when did the Prophet make him a wasi? While I was the one who supported his head on my lap, and he asked for a tray, and then he collapsed, and then he died. I didn't hear him making anyone his wasi. فَمَتَ عَوْسَ إِلَيْهِ. When did Rasulullah make Ali the wasi? According to one of the Turkish fellow, Muhammad Guzal Amudi, who then, you know, studied more about his own faith, studied in the seminaries of the Sunnis and then started looking at history. Eventually, it was his research that brought him to Islam of Ahlul Bayt. And he wrote a book, you know, his journey to the Saqalain. And there he, after this narration of Aisha, he says, you know, I'm really amazed that Bukhari jumps on something that he wished to find. And so he jumps on this statement of Aisha. Ah, see, she's saying that Rasulullah didn't make anyone a wasi. But he doesn't realize that if Aisha says, I don't know, her ignorance does not negate the presence of the wasiyyat of Rasulullah. You come and tell me, Maulana, this is a hadith I saw somewhere. Can you verify it? I said, I don't know. If I say I don't know, does it mean that it's wrong? It just means that I have not read it. It has not come across my studies. But I cannot say this doesn't exist. I don't know. Maybe others have heard it. Others have read it. And so this is the point, that even when others are sitting there in the presence of Aisha and talking about Ali as a wasi, it means they knew about it. Bukhari doesn't realize, by quoting this, he's actually affirming the statement that there were people at that time who believe in Ali as the wasi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We will say to our respected mother that your father was very wise, that when he was coming to the stage of death, he realized, I must appoint someone as my successor. But your husband didn't have that wisdom, na'uzubillah. That he brought the last message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and left it just unopened, you know, up open-ended there. And didn't even talk about who will be his khalifa and his wasi. You know, this is where we come to realize when we say Ali is yaqeen, and surely he is mazloom, he is mazloom in history also. Salawat. Even the Khawarij, who actually ended up hating Amirul Mu'mineen, using the label of kafir for him, they also, you know, affirmed that Ali was the wasi. Yaqubi is a very famous historian, and again, this is not a Shia source. He narrates that the Khawarij criticized Ali after this issue in Siffin and the issue of arbitration, where Ali didn't like it, but he was forced by the circumstances to agree with it. And the group which turned against him later on, they were the one who actually forced him for arbitration. And then they turned against him and they said, oh, we made a major mistake, we became kafir, we have to repent. And you also became kafir, you have to repent. And Ali said, you go do your tawbah. I don't have to do it. And that's where they turned against him and they are known as Khawarij. You know, those who label the Shias as kafir are actually ideological children of Khawarij now. They came to Ali and they said, you know, by accepting arbitration, you actually have betrayed the wasiyyat of Rasulullah. In a sense that you were the wasi of Rasul. You should have stood on your grounds. But you betrayed that wasiyyat by accepting this arbitration. Amir al-Mu'mineen's response is very interesting. He said, okay, you accept me as a wasi. And then you are telling me that I betrayed. He says, you know, your example is like this ayat of Quran where Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, ayat 97, about Hajj. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجَّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That it is the right of Allah on the people who have the affordability that they should go for Hajj to the house of Allah in Mecca. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. Whoever neglects that. Kafara here is in the meaning of neglecting something or being ungrateful. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. He doesn't, Allah is free from need of the people. So then Ali says, it is wajib for the people with the means to travel to Mecca, they must go for the Hajj of Kaaba. Suppose nobody goes for Kaaba, for Hajj. Is Kaaba who is becoming kafir and ungrateful? Or is it the people? So I'm the wasi. You abandoned me. You betrayed the wasiyyat, not me. If there is any label to be used, it's against you and not against me. Interestingly, Rasulullah more than once, especially during his last days, he told Ali, Ali, you don't need to go to the people to say that I'm the Khalifa and the leader. The Ummah needs to come to you because you are like the Kaaba. The Kaaba doesn't go anywhere. The people have to go to the Kaaba. Let Let me end with one narration before I come towards the Masaib. From Asbagh bin Nubata, a very close Sahabi of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And again, this is a khutbah he is narrating from a Sunni source, Al-Qanduzi al-Hanafi, in his book Al-Muwadda. Where there, he says that I was there in one of the khutbahs that Ali gave, where Ali describes himself. And he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنَا إِمَامُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. All the people, I am the imam of the people. وَوَصِيَّ خَيْرِ الْخَلِيقَ. And I am the wasi and successor of the best of creation. وَعَبُ الْعِطْرَةِ الطَّاهِرَ الْهَادِيَةِ. I am the father of the pure and guiding progeny. أَنَا أَخُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I am the brother of the Rasul. وَوَصِيُّهُ. And I am his successor. وَوَلِيُّهُ his friend, وَسَفِيُّهُ his sincere companion, وَحَبِيبُهُ and his beloved. أَنَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَقَائِدُ الْغُرِّ الْمُحَجَّلِينَ وَسَيِّدُ الْوَصِيِّينَ. I am the chief of the believers, the leader of the best of the people, and the masters of the awsiya and the heirs who will come from my descendants. حَرْبِي حَرْبُ اللَّهِ. He says, my fight is the fight of Allah. وَسِلْمِي سِلْمُ اللَّهِ. When I make peace, it's like the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طَاعَتِي طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ. Obedience to me is like obedience to Allah. وَوِلَايَتِي وِلَايَةُ اللَّهِ. And the authority that I have is from the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتْبَاعِ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. And those who are my followers are the friends of Allah. وَعَنْصَارِ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ. And those who help me are the helpers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat. Asbagh bin Nubata was a very close companion of the Imam. He was there. There is also a very interesting long conversation between him and the Imam. Between the time of the Zarbat and Shahadat, when he came to visit the Imam, he was there on the Fajr time of 19th Ramadan. He was there when Amir al-Mu'mineen was attacked by Ibn Muljim Mal'un. And he was walking with the family of Ali, who were carrying him in the blanket. And so he's one of the narrators there, and inshallah will continue his discussion tomorrow night. But when we remember the statement I made last night, that when Ali was being brought closer to the house, now those who have visited Kufa, you know the Masjid Kufa and the house of Ali were not that far away from one. But when he was closer to the door, he told his companions to keep away, because he didn't want the crying of Zainab and Umm Kulsoom be heard by them. You see, from the time he was attacked, Ali maintained his shujaat and courage. Even when he was struck, he did not cry. He uttered the words, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, by the Lord of the Kaaba, I have been successful. I didn't want to die on the bed. I wanted to become a shaheed. And even when Ibn Muljim was brought and his family has now come there in the masjid, Ali was not crying. Actually, he was consoling his own sons and the nephews and other, you know, people from Banu Hashim, don't cry. But there is a moment there when Ali himself started crying. You see, when this cry was heard in Kufa, لَقَدْ إِنْ حَدَمَ أَرْكَانُ الْهُدَى,
that the pillar of guidance has fallen down, everybody realized what is happening. This news of the attack on Ali was a wildfire in Kufa. Zainab and Umm Kulsum all now were there in the house of Ali, worried, what happened? And when Amir al-Mu'mineen was brought in, this was first time that Ali is being carried. Wherever he went, he would walk himself. And when the family saw Amir al-Mu'mineen, they started crying. This is where Wa Muhammadan Wa Aliyah, the cry came out. Ali, who did not cry all along the way from masjid to the house, when he saw the cry of Zainab and Umm Kulsum, this is where that Ali started crying. Mawla, I don't know if you are so much impacted by the cry of Zainab and Umm Kulsum. What would happen to your soul when you heard about the cry of Zainab and Umm Kulsum on the Ashura and in Shami Ghariba? The family called the famous doctor or tabib of Kufa, who came and looked at the wound on the forehead of Amir al-Mu'mineen, examined that in the way they had the technique at that time. And then when he looked at it, he said something to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, from what I see, the poison has already reached to the brain. And Ali, there is no cure for this. And therefore, I ask you to start doing your wasiyyat. This wasi of Rasul is by now being asked to do his own wasiyyat to his own family and his own children. And this is where we see that Amir al-Mu'mineen started the wasiyyat. This was the day after. But the other thing which the doctor mentioned, where he says that, and I normally in the second majlis give more time to the Masaib in English, although I'm not that much used to it. The second statement which the doctor made to the family was that, do not give any solid food to Ali now. If you really want to feed him, just give him milk and nothing else. This Imam, who was the Imam of Mercy, Imam of Adl and Justice, whenever they would bring a bowl of milk to him, he would drink a little bit, and then he will remove it, and he said, take this to Ibn Muljim. He says, I don't know whether you are taking care of his food and drink or not. When Ali does this, probably he was trying to give a message to the people around in Kufa, that a day will come where my son Hussein will come in Karbala. He will not be asking for milk. He will be asking for water for his infant child. Remember my generosity and kindness, even to somebody who is willing to kill me. Please do not kill my infant grandchild in that way. As Adarana Hussein, امیر المومنین نے جو آخری وصیتیں کی ہیں خاندان سے اس میں ایک جملہ ہے لا یقتلن بی الا قاتلی بہت ہی کلیئر جملہ تھا امیر المومنین کا نحن بلاغہ میں جو وصیت ہے حسن اور حسین اور ہم سب کے لیے ہے لیکن آخری میں جو جملہ ہے وہ صرف حسن اور حسین کے لیے اور بنو ہاشم کے لیے ہے کہتے ہیں دیکھو جب ہم ختم ہو جائیں اگر ہم زندہ رہیں گے تو معاملہ میرے اور ابن ملجم کے درمیان ہے لیکن اگر ہم ختم ہو جائیں تو خبردار تم جو ہے میرے مخالفین کو قتل کرنا مت شروع کرنا قتل کرنا تمہارا حق ہوگا قصاص، لیکن صرف میرے قاتل کو قتل کرنا، لیکن وہاں بھی آپ دیکھیں عدل، انظروا اذا انا مت من ضربته هذه فضربوه ضربة بضربة، دیکھو اس نے صرف ایک وار کیا تھا، تم صرف ایک ہی وار کرنا. اور اس کے بعد ایک جملہ ہے، کہتے ہیں ولا تمثل بالرجل، اور اس شخص کے جسم کو ٹکڑے ٹکڑے مت کرنا، میوٹیلیٹ مت کرنا، اس لیے کہ میں نے رسول کو یہ کہتے ہوئے سنا ہے کہ ایاکم والمصلح، اے میرے ماننے والے کسی بھی میت کو مصلح مت کرنا، میوٹیلیٹ مت کرنا، چاہے وہ کاٹنے والے کتے کی میت کیوں نہ ہو. بس علی نے یہ جملہ تو کہا ہے، لیکن عجب نہیں کہ یہ کوفے والوں کو بتا رہے ہیں، اگر میرا بیٹا حسین آئے تم سے سیاسی مسائل پر اختلاف ہو، قتل کرنے کے بعد میرے بیٹے کے جسم کو مسلح نہ کرنا. عزادار علی حسین زینب کو یہ جملہ یاد آیا ہوگا، جب زمین کربلا میں بیٹھی ہوئی دیکھ رہی ہیں دو دس گھوڑے سوار آئے، کس طرح سے بھائی کے جسم کو پامال کر دیا، یہاں تک کہ چھٹے امام کہتے ہیں حسین کے سینے کی ہڈیاں پشت کی ہڈیوں سے جا کے مل گئی. الا لعنت الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون. خدا وند اس قرب قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خدا وند ہم لوگوں کو آخر وقت تک محمد آل محمد کے راستے پر قائم اور دائم رکھنا، تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تاجل فرما، ماتم حسین.